Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, October 12, 2023, 1 John.
All right, before we get started, first things first, today is Sherry Bingham's birthday, and I was to tell you, your wonderful husband, Albert, said you get a birthday month. A birthday month. Did you hear that, Al? Birthday month. Al just passed out back there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We are in a passage in not only chapter 4, it started back in chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, I would say 6, 7, and 8, but we don't have those chapters on virtue love. Nowhere in the Word of God is virtue love defined so clearly. And it's fitting that the Apostle John is the author in communicating these doctrines. Of all of the disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ loved the Apostle John and being with him the most. Because John totally got it. The Lord Jesus Christ was teaching virtue love. John got it. And then we have in this 1 John, we'll have it again, 2 John and 3 John, the doctrine of virtue love. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 4, starting the corrected translation at verse 7. Beloved royal family of God, let us love one another. That mandate to love one another is referring to loving one another with virtue love, but specifically impersonal love for all. Virtue love is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age, to have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. As you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then you will grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will advance to spiritual maturity and grace righteousness, and you will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart in all three parts. There are three parts of virtue love. The first part is the great motivational virtue. First of all, is developed personal love for God the Father. That has to be developed first. And when you have that, that's the great motivational virtue that will motivate you to fulfill part two of virtue love, which is impersonal love for all mankind, every believer. And I think in many ways today it's harder to love believers with impersonal love for all than it is to love unbelievers with impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all means all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the great functional virtue of virtue love. First of all, the motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which will motivate you so that you can have impersonal love for all mankind. And the third part, occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of that is sharing the happiness of God. When you have that, reached that point of virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have come to know God, you have developed that personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, that is when you will have self-contained happiness, plus H, not minus H. Satan and his cosmic system has minus H, pseudo-happiness, but God has self-contained plus a sharing the happiness of God. Occupation with Christ, when you get to that point, you will share the happiness of God. And what does that mean? Sharing the happiness of God. Well, that's the most powerful problem-solving device for anything you will ever face in your life. This is the great epistle, 1 John, that teaches virtue love. Beloved royal family, let us love one another. That's the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Because virtue love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves with virtue love, specifically here in this context, impersonal love for all, has been born from the source of God, regeneration. And he has come to know God. Now that's a very special word. The word that John uses all throughout here for virtue love is agape. A-G-A-P long E. That's his word to describe the doctrine of virtue love. And when he has another verb he uses all throughout this epistle, and that's ginosko. G-I-N long O-S-K long O. Ginosko. And that's what we have here in verse 7. Furthermore, everyone who loves with virtue love, impersonal love for all, has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and he has gnoskoed. He's come to know God. What is that? He has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And he has been teaching this. He taught it in 1 John chapter 2 in verses 3 through 5. And by means of this, we know that we have gnoskoed. We know that we have come to know God, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, if there's a condition, if we obey His mandates, His commands. Verse 4, the one who keeps on contending, claiming, maintaining that I gnosko God, that I know God, that I have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, but does not obey His commands, His mandates, that believer is a liar. And the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. But if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying His Word, the mandates of the Word of God, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. So he's been teaching this back starting in 1 John chapter 2, and now he's really getting in, he's shifting into high gear now. I don't know if I can shift into high gear anymore, but I'll try. Beloved royal family, let us love one another, impersonal love for all, because virtue love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves, virtue love, impersonal love for all, has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and he has come to know God. He has personal love for God the Father that motivates this great impersonal love for all, the functional virtue and occupation with Christ. Verse 8, the one who does not love with impersonal love for all, absolutely has not come to know God. And we have a lot of believers today that who do not love with virtue love. They do not have impersonal love for all. And what is that saying? They have not come to know God. They have no personal love for God the Father. They have no personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. Because God is virtue love. Now, impersonal love for all mankind is commanded all throughout the Word of God. It's found in the command to love one another. It's found in the command to love the brethren, to love all fellow believers. It's found in the command to love your neighbor as yourself. We are commanded to love one another with impersonal love for all. That's the mandate. Now, most believers today do not. They do not love one another with impersonal love for all. They can't, because they have not come to know God. They have no personal love for God the Father. They have no motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all. But we're still commanded. The mandate is for us to love one another with impersonal love for all, because impersonal love is from the source of God. Impersonal love is from the source of the Spirit of God. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Virtue love. Impersonal love for all. So when you have no impersonal love for all, it means you're not living the spiritual life. You're not living by the power of the Spirit of God. For if you're living by the power of the Spirit of God and the teaching ministry of the Spirit of God, then you're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and you will have impersonal love for all. The fruit of the Spirit is love, impersonal love for all, and happiness, sharing the happiness of God, peace and patience and kindness and generosity and fidelity and tolerance and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Impersonal love is from the source of the Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart. It's the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have, by means of obedience to the truth, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, purified your souls for an unhypocritical love of the brethren, impersonal love for all, fervently love one another from the heart. This impersonal love from the source of the filling of the Spirit, combined with the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, resulting in impersonal love from the source of God. We see this in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. But may the Lord cause you to increase and to overflow with love for one another, impersonal love for all, and for all mankind, just as we also do for you, have impersonal love for you. And then again, in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, now concerning love for the brethren, fellow believers, impersonal love for all believers, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves keep on being God-taught, the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit in grace perspicacity. You keep on being God-taught to love one another. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are obligated always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, fellow believers, as it is fitting, because that which is believed by you, the Word of God, is increasing abundantly, and the love of each one of you toward one another, impersonal love for all, is growing ever greater. It's growing ever greater as a result of them living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Now, that mandate in the Scriptures to love your neighbor as yourself, well, it started back in the dispensation of Israel. It started back in Leviticus 19, verse 18. And Leviticus 19, 18 says, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And this is then brought over into the New Testament Scriptures, and the Lord Jesus Christ made this very clear. In Matthew 22, turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22, 34. Matthew 22:34, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. They got together. Now, these are unbelievers. They think they are great believers. They're not even saved. But they think they're great believers, and they think they're experts on the Word of God. Sound like a lot of people running around in America today. The Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him, and that means he's testing him because, one, he's not a believer, he's not saved. He's testing Jesus Christ with this question. Teacher, didaskalos. He doesn't call him Lord, he doesn't call him Kurios, he doesn't call him the Messiah, he calls him didaskalos. You're simply a teacher, that's all. So he tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. This is two parts of virtue love. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Personal love for God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the motivation for the great priority solution in your life. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, all throughout the Old Testament scriptures, they hang on these two commandments. Now, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul picked up on this. Turn over to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Impersonal love for all. For the one who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, do not lust. And whatever other commandment there may be, they are all summed up in this one principle. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, virtue love, does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, virtue love is the fulfillment of the law. Furthermore, John in John 15:17 says, Jesus said, this is my command, love one another. That's impersonal love for all. God the Father has a command given to the entire human race in 1 John 3:23, the first half of the verse. That mandate is for the whole human race to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Then, in the second half of 1 John 3:23, He has a command to all of the ones who believe in Jesus Christ. And that mandate is to love one another. Impersonal love for all. Impersonal love is the great functional virtue. Impersonal love for all. When you have advanced to maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, when you have that great motivational virtue of personal love for the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, now you have grace righteousness in your soul. You have honor. You have integrity in your own soul. And impersonal love for all is the only way that you will treat the rest of the human race with virtue, with integrity, with honor. Impersonal love for all, when you have that brought to completion in your heart, well, you now have the basis to have the most phenomenal, successful, and happy marriage. All your relationships with people, you have the basis for having fantastic relationships, friendships, romance, marriage. You have it once you have that. Without that, Well, you always are arrogant and you have no honor, you have no virtue, you have no integrity. Instead of reconciliation and removal of barriers, all you do is build barriers, build problems, create barriers. When you're living without, you're not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, all you do is create barriers, build barriers. But when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, impersonal love removes barriers. Impersonal love for all removes barriers. Now you have virtue, honor, integrity. You have the basis to solve all personal relationship problems, whether it's friendship, marriage, whatever. So 1 John 4 verse 8 again says, the one who does not love with impersonal love for all absolutely has not come to know God. They have no personal love for God the Father and therefore no motivational virtue to have impersonal love for all. They have no occupation with Jesus Christ because God is virtue love. Now we exegeted verse 8 and we started to summarize verse 8 and we got through 4 points. So, point 1, I didn't even have to ask Gary down here. He was all set though, he's going boop, boop, boop. Point 1, personal love for God the Father is the motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all, which is the functional virtue of the spiritual life. Point 2, if you want to know your status quo as a believer, if you want to know whether you are living the spiritual life, our Sunday class in Romans 6:4. If you want to know if you are living in newness of life, if you're living the spiritual life that God has for us in the church age, or whether you are living in Satan's cosmic system, it's very, very simple. Just check yourself out. Do you have impersonal love for all? Point three, lack of impersonal love for all is the manifestation that you are out of fellowship with God. You are living in Satan's cosmic system. You are suffering from living the carnal reversionistic life. And the sad thing today in America is that many, many believers have not come to know God. They have no personal love for God the Father. They have no personal love for Jesus Christ, no occupation with Christ, because they are living in Satan's cosmic system, but they are not living the spiritual life. 4, it is impossible to have personal love for God and occupation with Christ, or impersonal love for all when you are living in Satan's cosmic system. So, point 5. Believers living in the cosmic system, believers living the carnal reversionistic life, have no virtue love. They have no virtue love because there's no virtue in the cosmic system. There's no virtue love in the cosmic system. There's no personal love for God in the cosmic system. There's no occupation with Christ in the cosmic system. There's no impersonal love for all in the cosmic system. So believers living in the cosmic system, believers living the carnal reversionistic life, have no virtue love. 6. Believers living in the cosmic system have no spiritual life. Instead, they are living the carnal reversionistic life. This characterizes many of the believers in Corinth. And we saw that again and again and again in 1 Corinthians. And the Apostle Paul says, I can't write to you as spiritual. I have to write to you as babies. You're baby believers. Why? Because you're still carnal. Sarkinos. You're living by the sin nature. You're living by the power of the sin nature. You're not spiritual. There's no spiritual life in you. You've been believers for years and years and years, and you're still babies. You're still babies because you're sarkinos. You're carnal. You're living the carnal reversionistic life. And how do we know that? Because you quarrel with each other. You quarrel with each other. You fight with each other. That's all you do. You have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward each other. Quarrel and fight. And that simply demonstrates no spiritual life. You have no spiritual life. There's nowhere in the Bible says the filling of the Spirit is quarreling, fighting, mental attitude sin, sins of the tongue. That's not the filling of the Spirit. There's no spiritual life there. And that these were believers, had been believers for years and years and years. And they were still babies because they were living the carnal reversionistic life. Believers living in the cosmic system have no spiritual life. They're living the carnal reversionistic life. They quarrel with each other, fight with each other, argue with each other. There is no honor, no virtue, no integrity. There is no grace righteousness. 7. Virtue love is only developed and comes to completion in the heart of the believer who's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Virtue love is only developed and comes to completion in the heart of the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. And we're commanded, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, live your life, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And then spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. 2 Peter 3:18, the mandate. Grow up spiritually. Grow up in grace. Grace orientation and knowledge. Doctrinal orientation. Two of the great problem-solving devices that God has for you. And when you have those problem-solving devices, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, why, you're on your way to solving all of the any situation or circumstance or you will ever face in your life. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And spiritual skill number three, execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Point 8. Cosmic involvement means no filling of the Spirit, and therefore no divine power to live the spiritual life. No newness of life, Romans 6:4. No newness of life, no living the unique spiritual life of the church age. So cosmic involvement means no filling of the Spirit, no divine power to live the spiritual life. You're living your life by the energy of the flesh. 9. Cosmic involvement means failure. Failure to consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine. And therefore, failure to develop virtue love. Romans 12:1 and 2. A transformation of being renewed in your mind, renewing of your mind, renovation in your mind, day by day. It's not there. It's not there. Cosmic involvement means failure to consistently and faithfully metabolize doctrine, and therefore failure to develop virtue love. 10. There is no virtue in the cosmic system. No virtue in the cosmic system, and that means there is no happiness. No plusage. Oh, Satan has his pseudo-happiness that he offers, but no plusage, no sharing the happiness of God. There is no virtue in the cosmic system, and that means there is no happiness in the cosmic system. Living in Satan's cosmic system will result in you never sharing the happiness of God. No plusage. Why? Because you have no virtue love. You see, the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. But when you're living in Satan's cosmic system, you will not have plus H. When you're living in Satan's cosmic system, you will not share the happiness of God. You won't have happiness from promotion. You might be promoted, but you'll be no happiness with it. Or from success, or from sex, or any love relationship, any friendship relationship, wealth. You won't be happy with wealth. You could be given, you could win the, I saw somebody finally won the billions of dollars, and I've followed up on a lot of these people that win these things. Most of them have committed suicide because they were so happy. Did all of those millions or billions make them happy? No. And if they didn't commit suicide, their relatives shot them and killed them to get their money. I mean, so, you see, I am happy to be poor. Of course, I might still be shot by one of you, I don't know. And material things? Well, material things don't make you happy. 11. The only way to have happiness, sharing the happiness of God, is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The only way to share the happiness of God is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Virtue love is developed by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. 12. Living in the cosmic system results in not knowing God. And not knowing God means no impersonal love for all. It means no personal love for God the Father, no occupation with Jesus Christ, and therefore no plus H. Living in the cosmic system results in not knowing God. Not knowing God means no virtue love, no personal love for God the Father, no occupation with Jesus Christ, no sharing the happiness of God, and no impersonal love for all. 13. When you are living the carnal reversionistic life, you will totally fail to manufacture virtue, honor, and integrity in your soul. When you live the carnal reversionistic life, when you are living in Satan's cosmic system, you will totally fail to manufacture virtue, honor, integrity in your soul. There will be no grace righteousness in your soul, in your heart. No spiritual maturity. You will not have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And such a believer cannot and does not glorify God in time, because he has rejected the grace and truth of the Word of God. He's rejected the plan of God for the church age, and that plan for the church age is for us to live the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skill. 14. the believer's ignorance of God after salvation means living out his life in Satan's cosmic system. The believer's ignorance of God after salvation means living out his life in Satan's cosmic system. And when you do that, well, Paul and John tell us that at that point you become an antichrist believer, the enemy of God, the enemy of the cross. You're living a lie, and you're living in darkness. The teaching's up here. The teaching's up here. I'm not back there in a couple rows back there. I can sit back there for a while. I'll take a club and hit you over the head. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, again says, Beloved, royal family, let us love one another, impersonal love for all, because virtue love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves, virtue love, especially impersonal love for all, has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and he has come to know God, develop personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Christ. Verse 8, the one who does not love with impersonal love for all absolutely has not come to know God. No personal love for God the Father, no personal love for Jesus Christ, because God is virtue, love. All right, let's take a look at this again. One, God is love. Doesn't take that long to get that point, huh? Two, this is the divine attribute of love. God is love. This is the divine attribute of love. Three, love must be defined in terms of the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Love must be defined in terms of the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Four, God's divine attribute of love is virtue love. And the Apostle John is defining it for us now in the rest of chapter 4. So let me give you previews of coming attractions. 1 John 4, 9 through 12. Here's what the corrected translation will sound like as we go on here. 1 John 4, 9 through 12. By this, the virtue love of God was manifested in our case because God has sent his unique Son into the world in order that through him we might live. By this, virtue love exists. Not because we have loved God, but because he loved us. He loved us with impersonal love for all. When we were at our worst, spiritually dead and totally depraved. Because he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us with virtue love, impersonal love for all, and he does, we also have been mandated to keep loving one another with impersonal love for all. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, impersonal love for all, God resides in us, and his virtue love has been fulfilled by us. 1 John 4, 9-12. Point 5. The virtue love of God has three categories. The virtue love of God has three categories. First, God loves His own absolute righteousness. God is absolute righteousness. God loves His own absolute righteousness. Secondly, God loves the other members of the Godhead with personal love because they have absolute righteousness in their very essence. God loves the other members of the Godhead with personal love because they have absolute righteousness in their very essence. And third part of the virtue love of God, God has impersonal love toward unworthy objects. God has impersonal love toward unworthy objects like spiritually dead and totally depraved humanity. And how can God do that? Because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinite honor, and therefore that is the basis of his having impersonal love for the mankind who is totally, totally unworthy. He can have impersonal love for mankind in spiritual death and total depravity. And you've heard, you know these verses. Why? I dare say everybody here knows John 3:16. There used to be a fellow who went to all the football games, the college football game, and he was known as John 3:16. They'd always show him in the stand. Well, turn over to John 3:16. Maybe there's a few of you that don't know John 3:16. John 3:16. Now God is virtue love. And the virtue love of God has three categories. God loves His own righteousness. Secondly, God loves the other members of the Godhead with personal love because they have absolute righteousness in their essence. And third, God has impersonal love toward unworthy objects like spiritually dead, totally depraved humanity. And how can He do that? Because He has honor, virtue, integrity, absolute righteousness, and perfect justice. For God loved the world. God so loved the world, or God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is God the Father's impersonal love for the whole world, spiritually dead, totally depraved mankind. Turn over to Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own virtue love for us in this. And this is impersonal love to all mankind, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Huper plus the genitive, as a substitute for us. In our spiritual death, in our total depravity, God's impersonal love for all of us as sinners, Christ died for us. So the virtue love of God has three categories. First, God loves his own righteousness. Secondly, God loves the other members of the Godhead with personal love, because they have absolute righteousness in their very essence. And third, God has impersonal love toward unworthy objects, spiritually dead, totally depraved humanity. John 3:16, Romans 5:8, 6. Because God has infinite virtue, infinite integrity, because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, it is no problem for him to love all the world with its sinners on the basis of impersonal love. Because God is infinite virtue, infinite integrity, infinite honor, absolute righteousness and perfect justice, it is no problem for him to love all the world with its sinners on the basis of impersonal love. And likewise, when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and attain spiritual maturity, now you have grace righteousness. And from that grace righteousness in your soul, now you can have impersonal love for all mankind. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And that is the great problem-solving device that solves all personal relationship problems. But without that, instead of having that great problem-solving device, instead of having that virtue and honor and integrity, instead of having that great motivational virtue of love for the Father and occupation with Christ, instead, well, you create problems and create barriers and go the other way. So because God has absolute righteousness, it is no problem for him to love all the world with its sinners on the basis of impersonal love. 7, God solved mankind's problem of sin by using impersonal love as a problem-solving device when he designed Operation Grace, the cross. God solved mankind's problem of sin by using impersonal love as a problem-solving device in designing Operation Grace, the cross. The incarnation plan of God the Father for God the Son. He is the Anointed One. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the only Savior. 8. So this is God's problem-solving device, which he has passed on to us. This is God's problem-solving device, which he has passed on to us. Nine. God could not have mandated us to love one another with impersonal love for all, unless he had found a way to share with us his virtue love. God could not have mandated us to love one another with impersonal love for all, unless he had found a way to share with us his virtue love. So again, beloved, royal family of God, let us love one another with impersonal love for all, because virtue love is from the source of God. And furthermore, everyone who loves with impersonal love for all has been born from the source of God and has come to know God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Christ. However, the one who does not love with impersonal love for all absolutely has not come to know God. He has no personal love for God the Father, no personal love for Jesus Christ, because God is virtue love. So God's divine attribute of love is virtue love, and we are studying the paragraph of it. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. We've studied 7 and 8. We have 9 through 12 coming up. But that's not the only place. God's divine attribute of love, virtue love, is also going to be taught in 1 John 4, 16 to 19. So again, previews of coming attraction. 1 John 4, 16 to 19. The corrected translation of that will sound like this. Furthermore, we have come to know and we have believed the virtue love which God keeps on having for us. God is virtue love. In fact, the one who continues in the plan of God, and God the Holy Spirit, continues in him, by this, the power of God the Holy Spirit in living the spiritual life, virtue love has been obtained by us, that we may have confidence in the day of evaluation, standing before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture. Because just as he is the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God, so also we are in this world. Fear does not exist in virtue love, but virtue love expels this fear, for fear causes punishment, self-induced misery. In fact, the person who is afraid has not been matured in virtue love. We love virtue love because he first loved us with virtue love. All right, well, I want to pull some things together with this, but shit. The clock got to the end up here. I know the dignity of the clergy, and I couldn't give 2 cents about the dignity of the clergy. That, first of all, I hate the word clergy. Don't anybody, that you're calling me clergy, you might as well... The word clergy is idiotic, stupid. And the only thing worse than that is the dignity of the clergy. But I think I've expressed myself from time to time, and you understand what I think about those things. Now, if you can show me in the Bible chapter and verse of the dignity of the clergy, why, come back and you can straighten me out. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.